At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have this beautiful image given to us today of Jesus as the good shepherd. It's always on the second Sunday after Easter, and we have this wonderful image to think of as we go through the trials and tribulations of life, that our Lord is not only our Creator and our Redeemer, but He is our Good Shepherd. He continually watches out for us and cares for us. I would like to read that famous Psalm 22. In the Protestant Bibles, it's Psalm 23 because they use a different numeration system. But in our Catholic Bible, it's Psalm 22. And this is just something good to really meditate on, especially in the trials and tribulations of life. Jesus is there as the good shepherd. The Lord ruleth me, and I shall want nothing. He hath set me in a place of pasture. He hath brought me up on the water of refreshment. He hath converted my soul. He hath led me on the paths of justice for his own name's sake. For though I should walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I will fear no evils, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they have comforted me. Thou hast prepared a table before me against them that afflict me. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my chalice which inebriateth me, how goodly it is. And thy mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord unto length of days. You know, one of the particular things that's good to point out, in when it mentions, when King David in this psalm mentions the rod and the staff, and there's a couple of different ways of looking at it. The good shepherd uses his staff to guide his flocks, but he uses the rod against the threats to the flock. If he has to beat back the wolf, he will use the rod. It's a defensive tool. But if the sheep get a little bit too unruly, might have to use the rod a little bit with them too. So again, we have this wonderful picture before our eyes today of the Good Shepherd and how beautifully it's explained or illustrated further in this Psalm 22. So our Lord never ceases to shepherd us. He never abandons us. He laid down his life, literally, for us, the sheep. What about sheep? Well, in some ways, this is not the highest praise that our Lord compares us to sheep, because sheep are such followers. They're not maybe known as the most intelligent among all the animals. And isn't that true of us as human beings? We crave so much to be part of the group, to be part of the crowd, to follow the crowd. And if the crowd is good, then that helps a lot. But when the crowd is not good, we have to go against what the crowd is doing. And this reminds us of a truth that we always have to remember, that we have to live in this world but not be of the world. If we are of the world, then we are trying to fit in with the enemy of God. That's what the world is. My kingdom is not of this world, our Lord said. And we have to fight that tendency to just be like everyone else out there. Well, unfortunately, many of those out there are living lives very offensive to God, and we have to go against that. We have to swim against the current. Thank God we have good influences that we can follow instead. Our fellow fervent Catholics who are really trying to live their faith. That's the kind of good influence we should expose ourselves to, and be very careful about the exposure to those that are going to lead us away from God. In his church, our Lord has provided for a visible representative on earth. This man, whoever he may be, true pope, would have to be a man of great knowledge, a man of great wisdom, a man of great courage, and above all, a man of great sanctity. And our Lord instituted the office of the papacy to guide his church. And that's what a true pope always will do. He will infallibly guide the church. He may not necessarily be a great saint. That would be is to be greatly desired. But our Lord did not guarantee that each pope would be a saint. But our Lord did guarantee that his true vicar would never lead the sheep astray. Never. So if, in fact, a man wearing a white cassock who calls himself the Pope is leading the sheep astray, then we have to make a decisive judgment. It's a personal judgment, but we obviously cannot follow somebody, cannot acknowledge him to have the authority of Christ himself as his vicar, who is going to be leading us away from Christ by his official teaching and ruling. You know what I mean by all this. This is why we do not accept the popes of Vatican II, because they have literally led the sheep astray in their official teachings. On a certain level, this is terrifying. We don't have a Holy Father we can turn to in Rome, but all traditional Catholics know that you can't do that anymore. It's a new religion that's being taught. Has our Lord abandoned us? No, he hasn't. He cannot lead us astray. But he allows us to go through trials and tribulations. And one of the greatest that we go through is not having this chain of command going all the way up to a true Holy Father in Rome. We don't have one. And again, all you need is eyes to see and ears to hear that what is coming out of Rome nowadays and has been coming for many years is not Catholicism. It's a new, modernistic, updated version that calls itself Catholicism, but as a matter of fact, is not. But as I said, humanly speaking, it feels a little, more than a little terrifying. You mean, what do we do? We know our Lord can't abandon us, but we haven't had a Holy Father to turn to. One of the greatest sayings I've come across is by the late Father Anthony Chicata, who died last September, a great traditional Catholic writer, theologian, faithful priest. And he says, as terrifying as it may be, to realize the chair is empty, sede vacante, what is even more terrifying would be that Jesus would allow his vicar to lead souls to hell through his false teachings and rulings. Now that, and I think we can all see the logic of that, is far more terrifying. So rest assured, the good shepherd is always there. Remember, our Lord is the invisible head of the church. There is, by his own institution, a visible head. But as we obviously know, it's not continuously filled. When one pope dies, the chair is always vacant. As a matter of fact, in the Middle Ages, there was about 3 years where there was no pope. The cardinals had too many politics and conflicts among them where they could literally elect a pope. Yes, politics, it's even among the human element of the church. So in that three-year interregnum, as Bishop Pivirunis has pointed out, when one bishop died, another was consecrated to fill his place. The normal, reference to Rome couldn't be had. There wasn't a Holy Father. So the life of the church has to continue. The mission of the church never ceases. The salvation of souls, living the faith, teaching the faith, having the Mass, the sacraments, the liturgical life of the church, that always continues. And so, as I said, when one bishop died, another one was consecrated to take his place. And after a true pope was finally elected, did he take anybody to task? You should have waited. No, he confirmed everything that had been done. It was obviously necessary. And so we live in a time which is a far longer period than 3 years of interregnum, but the life of the church has to continue. The mission never changes. The church will exist till the end of time. We do the best we can under the circumstances. The good shepherd has not abandoned his sheep. As a matter of fact, he's given us for our own bishop, one who has as his very motto, something you will see in today's gospel, to lay down my life for the sheep. Granted, he hasn't had the formal appointment by a true pope, but as I said, in past times when there was no pope, you just keep on moving as best you can, and if God gives us a true Holy Father, then we must all submit to him. That's the Catholic thing to do. So you see, we very much believe in the papacy. We wouldn't be Catholics if we didn't. But at the same time, because of our belief, we have to reject false claimants and leave it up to our Lord to how he's going to resolve this. It is indeed a great trial. It's something that I suffer over as you do, but I need to, and you need to, remember what the Good Shepherd teaches us. He will never abandon us. He laid down his life for us. He will always provide amidst all the sufferings and tribulations of life. Sanctity is something that has to go on continuously. We have to seek for that all the time, no matter whether it's normal times or very abnormal times. The mission of the church doesn't change. It will never cease until the end of time. The salvation and sanctification of souls. There's something else to reflect on. As our Lord compares us to sheep today, again, this very comforting image of him being there, providing for us. We have to remember that the children, Catholic children, are the lambs. And our Lord was very specific when he asked St. Peter, when he did finally make him pope after the resurrection, he said, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me?" And our Lord not only asked them to feed my sheep, but feed my lambs. And that's a beautiful image right there. But what we have to remember is that lambs are more prone to danger. They're more prone to sickness because, again, their immune systems aren't as built up as those, the sheep that are older. So spiritually speaking, we must never forget that children are more vulnerable to the world, the flesh, and the devil. They have to be protected. The Catholic education and the raising of children has to be thought of, in a sense, as a protective bubble in which the children are placed. Why? Because they're so impressionable. They need greater protection than those that are older. Obviously, we don't do the same for a teenager that we would do for a younger child, but still that idea of protection has to be there. That is why we sacrifice so much to have a Catholic school, to help protect children from the harmful influences that they will inevitably be faced with to a much greater degree if they are not in a Catholic school. We have the grave danger of the internet nowadays. It's so pervasive that reaches into children, at children. They have to be protected from this monster, which can so easily devour them. The supervision is of paramount importance. So let us rely again on the Good Shepherd to help us. He teaches us. He guides us. The Catholic Church has given us so many wonderful guidelines and teachings on the education of children, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord, to really have them live godly lives. And when they grow up, when they are out of your formal training as parents, when they're out of our school, they will be strong in the faith and won't succumb. I always like to tell the students, you know, in a very real way, these are the easy years when you get older, when you're not under the direct guidance of your parents anymore, when you've reached your majority, when you're no longer in school. That's where the real test happens, to see if you can successfully keep the faith and keep striving for sanctity. So let us stay close to the Good Shepherd. Let us be comforted. Let us be inspired by what he does for us. Again, take out Psalm 22. Just meditate on that, to comfort you, to strengthen you. Remember that if you're with the Good Shepherd, you are on the winning side. Yes, the sheep will have things to endure, to suffer, to go through, but if you're with the Good Shepherd, you're absolutely on the winning side. Thank God for that. Let us stay close to him. Let us honor him. Let us thank him for being such an infinitely good shepherd who provides for what we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.